Okay, well, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us for Citizens Climate University for this Thursday evening. Tonight's lesson, we're going to talk a lot about the Business Climate Leaders Program. And we've got the sort of the founders and the directors of that program on tonight. We're really lucky to have them on here. And what we're going to talk about is, you know, how do we engage business leaders to support a healthy climate? And more so, this is becoming really, really important with CCL and our efforts and our advocacy at the local level as well as at the national level. So in tonight's lesson, we have Harold Hellman. Harold is the Director of Engagement for the Business Climate Leaders. Harold graduated from Cornell back in the 80s, did a little bit of computer game programming, which we found out earlier tonight. Also has done some work in nonprofit area. Most recently designed and ran a pilot program for the National Resource Center, testing whether membership in several Midwestern states could effectively support the Clean Power Plan using CCL's grassroots organizing method. So Harold's got a varied background there, and just glad to have Harold on the line. Also, we have Steve Hamm. Steve has spent 30 years in executive positions at Hewlett-Packard and several other high-tech companies in Silicon Valley. He has volunteered with CCL for nearly 5 years as co-founder and director of the Engagement for Business Climate Leaders. He's also the co-chapter leader for the Silicon Valley North Chapter. And we also have Mr. Bruce Hagan, who is living in Sonoma County, California, and is safe for now, we're glad to say. He's a five-year CCLer and co-founder of the Business Climate Leaders. And he's focusing on getting the clean energy lobby for carbon pricing. So we're glad to have Bruce on here as well for tonight. And then, so just real quick, I'll give you the goals and I'll turn it over to these fine gentlemen tonight. Our learning goals for this evening is to describe the business climate leader's overall role in supporting Grasstop's outreach at both the chapter and national levels. They're going to explain the basic principles of working with larger and smaller businesses.
Okay, let me see if I...
They're going to decide how you can most effectively and enjoyably contribute to building productive relationships with businesses. And then they're going to talk to you about how do you kick that orange ball into the net. And so I'm interested in hearing that. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to these gentlemen, and we'll have time for questions later as we move on through the presentation. So, gentlemen, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Ricky. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. Bruce Hagan here. So here's the agenda. What is Business Climate Leaders, hereinafter referred to as BCL, its history and its purpose? Why are we focusing on business leaders and how working with businesses is the same as working with members of Congress and how it's different? We'll talk about the two channels that we have for our work, chapter teams with a local focus and the sector teams who have a national or industry-wide focus and how the two interact. Then we'll cover the next steps, how you get involved with our work. And finally, we'll have a page of links to additional resources, followed by a Q&A. So we are, above and all, a CCL action team. You're familiar with, perhaps, the dozens of action teams that we have. And we have a lot in common with them. For example, the health team, Team Oil, and the outdoor industry team. They're autonomous from BCL, but they also operate as sector teams under our umbrella. Ooh, nice echo there. So if we don't really have an official mission statement, but if we did, it's basically to support our volunteers who are engaging businesses in effective advocacy for the CCL mission. We're part of the grassroots outreach lever of political will. So it's important to know that it's not a lot different than what you and your chapters are doing with faith leaders or with government leaders or any of the other people at that level. It's just a special focus on how business is unique and how to get in that and make it work. We're working with the endorser program, we use the outreach database, and we also have been launching efforts to support chapter-based leader letters and business roundtables. We'll hear a bit more about that in a bit. And last of all, we're looking beyond just getting an endorsement, important as that is, or getting a business to show up at a member of Congress meeting. How are we going to develop a long-term relationship with the local and national business community, global business community, if you will, and start looking at all the things that we need to do to create a livable world.
Well, I've got tasked with telling us a little bit about the history of Business Climate Leaders. And it started about 2.75 years ago. We were working to put together a panel of business leaders and NGOs that were working with businesses for our regional conference in 2015. I had invited Bill Sharman, the founder of Future 500, which is a business-facing NGO, and it has always shared CCL's goal of a carbon fee and dividend. So we invited Bill, and then at the conference itself, he told the audience that he had a secret strategy for Citizens Climate Lobby, and then he proceeded to give away the secret. The secret, he said, is the dividend. Companies in the retail sector will do quite well because the dividend will put cash in the pockets of their customers. So go to those companies that are going to benefit and get them behind carbon fee and dividend. So we, like a bunch of idiots, said, okay, we'll do it. And then at the annual conference in DC that year, Dr. James Hansen spoke, and afterward we were able to talk to him about a quote of his, which I will read. It's the captains of industry that can get us through the climate crisis. I've met with them. They have children and grandchildren, and they want to be part of the solution. So we had a few minutes to talk with him about that, and that's what we're going to talk about next year, some of the things we learned. One of the most interesting things that I feel we learned is that some of what you already know, we already know that politicians listen to the concerns of business. You already know that they listen because businesses pay taxes, they provide a lot of jobs, they contribute to political campaigns, and also because businesses lobby them. But what you may not have thought about is that politicians also listen to businesses and business leaders because business people are powerful problem solvers. I can tell you that from experience. It's not easy to make money in business, and it requires solving problems constantly and effectively. So when a business leader or a business lobbyist meets with a member of Congress, he or she respects the fact that businesses are good at creating solutions. The member of Congress will know that the company has thought long and hard about the issue being discussed. So if you, as a CCL volunteer, enlist a business person to join you in telling a member of Congress that the U.S. needs to enact an effective price on carbon, that member of Congress will listen to them differently and more intently than when they might be listening just to an individual constituent. The good news is that there are growing numbers of companies across many different sectors of the economy that are ready to engage with Congress in climate. And I have two examples for you. First, consider the companies, consider the companies that work with business climate leaders and have endorsed carbon fee and dividend. If you look at the list, which you can see on our website, businessclimateleaders.org, if you look at the list, you'll see that there's a lot of ski resorts and a couple of ski industry associations. Climate change is an existential threat to those businesses. No snow, no skiing. So that's why they team up with us. They have a good reason to, because they're looking for anything they can do to keep their businesses alive for the long term. So they're willing to join with us and meet with members of Congress whenever we offer them that opportunity. And even though those ski resorts are not huge enterprises, they matter a lot to politicians because they catalyze so much economic activity locally. So if you live in an area with ski resorts, reach out to us to find out if they're already working with business climate leaders. And if not, you can help engage them. Now, at the other end of the economic spectrum, we're going to tell you a story about our conversations with a major U.S. automaker. After our first two talks with them, we realized they really do share our goal of wanting to contribute to a healthy climate, just what Jim Hansen was saying. They want to be part of the solution, but they have a problem. And specifically, their problem is with the fuel efficiency economy standards and low gas prices. The CAFE standards, as they're called, require each manufacturer to have every year an increased level of energy fuel efficiency across their entire fleet of cars and trucks. Those levels, those standards were designed when gas was more expensive than it is now. And now people are not willing and they're not interested in buying fuel-efficient cars anymore because gas is so cheap. So that really puts The auto manufacturer's in a bind. And plus, they also point out that having a lot of electric cars on the road right now doesn't do much for the climate because so much of the electricity comes from fossil fuel-based power plants. So what are they going to do? They came up with this idea called cross-sector trading. It would achieve the same climate improvements as the CAFE standards, but their idea is to use the same investment dollars that they would have put into efficient cars, say EVs, and take that same money and buy renewable energy credits from the power sector. So it's cross-sector trading. That's pretty creative. Their analysis shows that cross-sector trading would catalyze a national smart grid that was fossil fuel free. It sounds really good. It's smart. And you know what? It's not, it turns out to not be incompatible with a carbon tax. So when you get in front of a company and you're willing to listen to these creative ideas that they're coming up with, you realize they really are problem solvers and they listen to our solutions too. So while they're not yet convinced, they're considering the idea that a carbon tax would actually help them meet those CAFE standards because it increases the cost of gas. So these two industries, skiing and auto manufacturing, are completely different. But what they have in common is something that you can take advantage of, and that is their need and desire to face the problem and talk to members of Congress about it.
You know, what are the reasons for engaging business leaders to join in our advocacy? Well, I think Harold was just talking about the fact that they're motivated because as we talk with them, they are very conscious of the changing climate and the instability that it can cause their business environment. And so they see that as real threats to the stability and the ongoing ability to grow their businesses. At the same time, they see opportunities. Opportunities in the development of clean energy, for example. Some businesses see opportunities in becoming, enhancing their competitive position by being the first to embrace moving to renewable energy. It helps cut their costs, and they can differentiate themselves from their competitors. And they also see it as an opportunity to enhance their reputation, which can be very effective for them in terms of attracting employees, engaging with their shareholders, keeping at bay potential environmental organizations that might otherwise harass them, and so forth and so on. So they see real, so they're definitely motivated. And of course, from our perspective, they can be, as we were talking about, they can be very powerful voices in engaging with members of Congress. So, one of the things we a lot of times hear from people is that often they might be reluctant, they might be concerned about their ability to connect with businesses. Some people are intimidated about reaching out to the business sector if they're not that familiar with it. But what we really like to tell people is that there's a lot of similarities in engaging with businesses as there is with in our lobbying with members of Congress. First and foremost is our goal of developing and establishing and working on long-term relationships with them. That's key to both of those relationships. And we want to try to develop as much as we can a relationship where we're viewed as a partner and as a trusted advisor with them working on common goals. We're not an adversarial organization like some other organizations might be. And so we work very hard to engage with them wherever they are willing to start with us. And of course, the other thing that's similar is that whenever you have a meeting with a company and you want to develop a relationship, you really need to do your homework. You need to understand what their business priorities are, where they've already been successful or where they've, in terms of advocacy for clean energy or, endorsing different climate initiatives and so forth, because you want to be able to recognize that, acknowledge that through appreciation and respect, just like we do with members of Congress. And as I mentioned, we really work to try to, just like we do with members of Congress, we try to understand where they are and make our asks consistent with what they're willing to do. One example that we had was we had an initial meeting with Salesforce up in San Francisco last year, And it was quite a high-level meeting because we had some really good contacts with people that were at high levels within the organization. We had three top executives in that meeting, which is fairly unusual, pretty unusual for a first meeting. And the meeting went very well. I think that they were very receptive to what we were advocating for, our, the carbon fee and dividend, and also their interest in having them advocate for effective climate action with members of Congress, even if they weren't, we didn't expect them to advocate for carbon fee and dividend right out of the box. But during the meeting, one of the people that was there was responsible for employee engagement. And she brought up the possibility, she asked, said, well, how, because I think we mentioned that we'll also be willing to work with their employees or give them opportunities to volunteer. And she said, well, how might that work? So we told them that it happened to be like a week or two before our congressional call-in. And she said, I think our employees would be really interested to do that. So we gave them a blurb that they sent out to all of their employees. And we got many Salesforce employees to call in for the congressional call-in day. And that helped kind of launch a relationship with them that continues to this day. And we've done a lot of different things with them. It's also different to engage with businesses. And one of the real differences is that, you know, in terms of working with members of Congress, we're by nature being citizens, we're their constituents. So in some ways they're obligated, if you will, to meet with us and listen to us. Whereas businesses, their constituents are different. Their shareholders, their employees, and they have other stakeholders, and it works. It's difficult a lot of times to get into, to make inroads initially and get and develop those relationships with businesses. And we often do it through connections. That helps a lot as if you have people that either work there or have worked there or know of people that work there. So we use that a lot as ways to enter into an organization.
Okay, so this is me. You're familiar with sales and marketing. You might have heard the term channels, like distribution channels. So we have two channels in BCL. There are sector teams, which, and you'll hear more about this in a moment. This is the intro. Sector teams, which are national, organized around industry sectors, and chapter teams, which are working like you do already in your chapter on various things. We have a steering committee, the three of us and several other people who support and coordinate these teams. And then we're going to have soon monthly calls with the team leads. And there's cross-pollination. So we'll start seeing some of this. So there's a steering committee. We meet every week. And then the sector teams, we have probably like 12 or 13 of these now that focus on individual economic sectors. We also then have projects that we're working on with chapters or states or regions. Idaho is one. Texas is another. We've got some other ones that are starting up. We have a monthly call to kind of bring these people together and share ideas and solve problems on both sides. And this cross-pollination works. Here's one of the examples that Hewlett-Packard, Steve and his folks in Silicon Valley, where the headquarters is, has a good relationship with the folks there. They're very supportive to a degree to what we're doing. And Idaho has an HP facility there. And we want to get the local facility to support a leader letter that we're going to send to Congressman Mike Simpson. So that connection helped facilitate the support from headquarters for a division or an office action. Next. And another example is we're trying to get these national trade organizations, Solar Energy Industry Association, American Wind Energy Association, or AWEA, to support it more. It's a big ask to ask them to endorse something, but they can facilitate their members' involvement. And Steve will talk a bit about how that's happening in the tech sector in a bit. but someone in the North Texas team happens to be on the faculty of an organization that does a lot of research with wind. So I'm talking to him tomorrow about how we can make inroads with the National Wind Energy Organization. And to me, this is like a big part of the secret sauce for all of this, because it's who knows who can introduce who to whom. You may have heard the idea that the word of mouth referral, if you're selling insulation or selling vacuum cleaners, word of mouth is so important. And if you can get somebody who joins CCL and says, I happen to know this person and I will call them, and after 7 months of attempts, they finally return your phone call, which happened to me once. That's the way we make these breakthroughs. Very important.
As Bruce mentioned and diagrammed for us, we have two channels. In the first channel, we refer to as our chapter teams, and the second channel is our sector teams. So I'm going to start talking a little bit about the chapter teams. Three things I'll mention initially is that if you're going to, and if your chapter is ready and wants to have some business engagement going on in your area, the first thing you need is some staff, some people, some volunteers on your team who are willing to do it. Once you've got that teamwork laid up and ready to go, you're going to be figuring out what kind of projects you want to do. Are you going to do a leader's letter? Or are you just going to meet a few members of Congress and see if you can get them to come to a meeting with you? Or are you going to do something fancier like a business roundtable? Those are some options, and that's kind of up to you to choose what to do. And we'll try and support you as best we can, whatever kind of projects you do. And the kinds of support that we can do, that we can offer, are things like, first of all, giving you local facilities of national companies. So that's why on this slide you see Trinity Health and Clif Bar. Turns out that Clif Bar has a new baking facility in Twin Falls, Idaho. Turns out that Trinity Health has one of the major hospital chains in the Boise, Idaho area. And because we have Business Climate Leaders has relationships with Trinity and Clif Bar, we were able to call up the chapter in Boise and say, hey, look, we've got a couple of major companies in your area that would be willing to be like anchor tenants for a campaign of yours if you wanted to do a leader's letter campaign. So they said, great. And they formed a team. They got a team leader. The chapter leader was willing to go. So now they have a business relationship leader, they have a chapter team leader, and they had one other very competent volunteer, and they formed that team, and they decided to write a customized leader's letter for Idaho. They picked the target member of Congress that they wanted to work with, and they started identifying local businesses that they could reach out to. So again, the three kinds of typical chapter projects that we support are bringing business leaders to in-district meetings, supporting business roundtables where they don't necessarily have an ask for a member of Congress, but they do discuss issues and pricing or solutions, and leaders' letters campaign. And those three things are in order from easiest to most complex. And in a minute, I'll tell you a little more about each of those kinds of projects. Now, in terms of the kinds of support, in addition to connecting you with local facilities of national companies, we can also provide, and this is something Bruce did, he put together some really terrific tools that are being used by the Boise team and a team in North Texas and a couple other places to organize and track your team meeting agendas, your action items, and the engagement status of the companies that you're working on. So those tools really make it much easier for chapters to manage this project, and that's the kind of thing we can provide to you and train you on a little bit. And then finally, we are offering chapter teams ongoing participation in their work. In other words, we'll listen in on conversations, and we'll also coach and provide coaching as needed. So those adding businesses to in-district lobbying, it's a lot like bringing a very high-powered new member of your chapter to an in-district meeting with your member of Congress. But there are some differences. First of all, you have to realize a business may not be ready to support carbon fee and dividend. So if they're not ready, you have to at least make sure they're not going to say something bad about fee and dividend. Right? So that's one thing you never want to forget. Make sure that they don't have something negative to say about it. If they're if they're going to be supportive, then you want to be sure and engage them in planning for the meeting with the member of Congress. You could ask them, for example, to tell their climate story. What risks and opportunities do they see to their business from climate disruption? What are they doing to address those risks and take advantage of the opportunities? And finally, what would they like Congress to do? So it's important in your interactions with the businesses that you are as organized and professional as you can possibly be. I'll give you an example of how our relationships have worked with one other company. Dignity Health operates about 30 hospitals in 3 Western states, and they're participating in BCL activities. In Arizona, we got a Dignity Health hospital representative to meet with a member of the House and the local CCL chapter, and basically they told their climate story. And now they're willing for us, as that chapter and that state are going to be reaching out to Senator McCain. Now, you may find it confusing that we don't require businesses to support carbon fee and dividend in order to meet with us in our meetings with members of Congress. You have to realize that in working with business leaders, we start with where they're at, just like a member of Congress. And if they're far enough along that their presence will support our ask in some way, even if they don't support fee and dividend, having them in the room will improve your members of Congress's perception of our fee and dividend proposal. So that's basically what's going to happen in a meeting just with a business person that you engage and a member of Congress. If you do a leader's letter project, which is kind of the most complex of these tasks or projects, the thing you can think of as an example is what Jay Butera did in Florida. He crafted a custom letter that reflected the climate concerns of local businesses, and he made some specific requests in the letter for a face-to-face meeting in the district. And he took that letter to a number of businesses, getting them to sign it, presenting it to the member of Congress. And then finally, they actually have that meeting, which is a chance for all these business leaders together to meet with the member of Congress.
Okay, so this is basically a preview. We have a BCL 102. I tested it out with Arkansas a couple of weeks ago. And a lot of times you get people that are very interested in wanting to do this work, but they can't remember what it is they said they would do, or they're not sure who the priorities are for contacting. And this is just a very well-organized way to identify, prioritize, assign these businesses, prospects. How do you contact them? How do you find out their email or their phone number? Do you go on their website? And if they've got a customer comment form, that's a great way. I think that's how we got Monsanto to finally get back in touch with us, surprisingly enough. And then what's the engagement look like? And how do you keep track of that over time? How do you decide, or when do you decide that you've got enough letters or signatures to send a letter to the member of Congress? So watch for this in the coming weeks or months.
Okay, we've mentioned a couple times that we're organized by business sectors. It's basically a way of grouping companies by industry. You see some examples on the right: chemical, clean energy, health and health, insurance, outdoor ski, technology. So we found that that was effective to do that, because as we got engaged with more and more large companies, we found that there was a lot of synergies when you talk with companies that were in the same industry. And it's also easier to recruit a team that has expertise in one industry. So that's the reason that we decided to organize by that, by sector. And it's been very effective. We've also found that it's when we do that, we're able to engage with business associations that are focused on those industry sectors, which can be really good partners for us. So with respect to within those sectors, we can have a team that's knowledgeable about that sector to work on recruiting, engaging individual companies to advocate with members of Congress. And we can also work to create coalitions to advocate for effective legislation, and in particular carbon pricing. So I'm going to go to the next slide. I want to talk about one in particular in terms of creating a coalition. Well, first of all, I'll talk about how we organize it. We have the sector teams are led by a sector team leader. And then the team members typically are assigned to work or volunteer to work on specific companies or more than one, depending upon their bandwidth. So one that I want to talk about a little bit more detail, because I've been living and breathing it for several months now, is we had an initiative with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. I lead our technology sector, and many of the companies that we've engaged with in the tech sector, and we've been developing relationships with kind of all of the major, you know, big name tech companies: Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Tesla, Google, Cisco, HP, and so forth. Talked about what came up with an idea earlier this year after the Climate Leadership Council introduced their carbon dividends plan. And if you recall, they had 11 companies, what they called their founding companies, endorse their carbon dividends plan. And for me, that kind of changed the game. That really was the first time that companies had specifically, publicly endorsed a specific carbon pricing proposal. So we came up with the idea of, okay, well, what if we could follow that on with a group of companies in a sector, and we decided to focus on the technology sectors, and get them to come together and advocate as a group for carbon fee and dividend, or something, or at least carbon pricing in general. So I developed a relationship, or a couple of us developed a relationship with the leading industry group here in Silicon Valley, which is called Silicon Valley Leadership Group. We engaged with their top person, their top lobbying person there, and he thought this was a great idea. He thought it would be of interest to his organization. So we've been partnering with them, and we put together a meeting, which we had yesterday, where we had 14 high-tech companies, all the ones I mentioned, plus several others like Oracle, Logitech, Salesforce. We had 14 high-tech companies, and we talked with them about ways that we specifically talked about carbon pricing and whether or not they'd be willing to collectively advocate for carbon pricing. We talked about carbon, you know, we briefed them on carbon fee and dividend. They had tons of questions. What really came through in that meeting was that, first of all, they were very appreciative of being brought together with a peer group to talk about these issues, because they don't feel they get bombarded with so many different requests that having a chance to talk about it as a group and consider collective action was a way for them to potentially have a bigger impact. And also they had a chance to learn what their peers were thinking about as well. They were very engaged. They're very interested in going to the next step. They didn't make any commitments yesterday, but we have a number of additional steps that we're going to go through in terms of educating them, and we're setting up a second meeting. And we have high hopes that they would, as a group, agree to some collective action. And we feel that this is a great model, connecting or the partnering with industry groups and then bringing together companies within a sector. And we're going to work to replicate that in other sectors like the clean energy sector, which Bruce is already working on. Sector team, it's a natural for people if you've had business experience in a particular sector, or if you have contacts within companies. And if you're, we work with kind of virtual teams across the company, across the country. So, well, of course, I think everybody in CCL is comfortable working in virtual teams, so that's probably not an issue. And there's, the different roles you can play in a sector team, either as a leader or a team member. And I'll talk a little bit about those next slide. Sector team leader, I really think of it as like running a department in a business. You really need to put together your strategy for how you're going to reach out. You need to recruit and build your team, your sector team, and do all of the things that typical leaders in a company or organization do: schedule, plan, follow up the meetings, lead those, and then also work with other sector team leaders. So as I said, it's like running your own little team or your own department, and And it's really helpful to engage people that have similar interests and experiences in that sector. And as a sector team member, we work to each, we have this technology team and everybody focuses on identifying prospective companies, researching them. And this is I consider it to be a game actually of, how do you get in companies? What, follow your different contacts, get referrals from everybody you connect with. So it's fun, I think, to try to figure out best ways to connect at the highest or most effective levels within a company. Okay?
All right. Well, this will be a short one here. If you're not already involved and on our mailing lists or a participant, just go to the BCL Action Team page on CCL Community. And the next slide, actually, don't go there yet. We'll show you how to get there, but if you have any trouble, call Ricky. and there's a link there that'll take you to a little questionnaire. It's very simple. Your name, your email address, your phone number, what your chapter is. Do you want to work sector or chapter or other? And a little bit more about yourself. You send it off. You'll get an email within a couple of days with some more info. And somebody will be setting up a phone call with you. And that'll probably be one of the three of us or another fella. And we'll just kind of find out where do you think you can best contribute? What excites you about all this and take it from there. This is what it looks like when you're navigating. So you go to Connect, Action Team, Directory, and there we are, Business Climate Leaders. That'll take you to the page you just saw. And here's just a few other things. We have the document version of this PowerPoint. We have an external facing website that we've worked on for half a year that's designed to give our business outreach effort a credible face so that, when people get an email from us, the first thing they're going to do, find us on the web. Does this group look like they know what they're doing? And we hope that this will help accomplish that in conjunction with and along with CCL's wonderful website. A few other things that you can just explore. Some of these don't have links on them yet because they're not done, but they will be in due order.
So on the slide here, the contact information for the Business Climate Leaders as well. Thank you guys for the presentation for this evening. Again, if anyone's looking on how to get involved with the Business Climate Leaders, go to CCL Community, click on the Connect button up at the very top of the homepage, and you should see the Action Team directory and just find the Business Climate Leaders Action Team directory. Just to let you know, for this and other training, that's available for on a wide variety of topics, you go to CCL Community and click on the Learn button, and you should see a tab then underneath for recent training, the upcoming schedule, all the details and all the training that we have. And again, just want to say thanks to everyone, and we'll be back next week. Brett will be back next week. So thanks everyone for joining, and we'll talk to you then. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Right. Great program.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, gentlemen.